Welcome back to the home of explanations, More Than Money, with Gene Dickison, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. It's the 9th of September. Monday will be the 9/11. And we remember, as we have for the last 9 years, those events with sadness, but with hope, with an eye to our history and those we have lost, and an eye to our future and helping those who need our help, our military vets and their families, those with wounds that are visible, those are with wounds that are invisible. And the Keystone Warriors will be the group that we benefit this year. Bobby Gunter Walsh will be there from 5 a.m. To 10, broadcasting till 10 a.m. He'll be there a little bit longer. We invite you to join us. And so many of you in years past have done exactly that, and it is a warm and wonderful experience to welcome you back. Lots of you are part of our family, and we get to see you throughout the year. Some of you, we get to see you once a year, and that's we wish we could see you more often. We wish you would visit us more often, but we are very appreciative that you visit us on 9/11 and help these folks. There'll be lots of food, lots of gifts, lots of friends, lots of good conversation, lots of great experiences. At 8:45, we have an honor guard with a 21-gun salute. Very, very moving. We have Bobby Gunter Walsh and Dan Holzman, and we're hoping to get some other folks. You're right. They're disgusting, but still, it adds something. Come on. And, of course, I'll be on air with Gunther throughout the morning. We're going to invite some other of our friends to stop in. If you make a generous donation, maybe we get you to get on air and say hey to Bobby Gunter Walsh, or say something more rude, which would actually be a lot of fun. Please join us. 610-720-7900. 610-720-7900. Gene at askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. All the ways that you may join us. If you missed the first hour, you missed a lot. We hit the ground running. We had some great questions and some great information. If you're one of the 143 million Experian customers that were hacked, and if you don't know, it's easy to find out. There's a link that you can check. You put in your name and part of your social security number, and they can tell you whether your records were accessed or not. Sadly, many folks that we've talked to have already confirmed that they were, and there are things that you can do. If you missed that first hour, you didn't, or it's not lost forever, that's for sure. I was going to say Monday at noon. We're going to be pretty busy on Monday. Let's say Tuesday at noon. It'll be placed on our website podcast so that you can download that and listen to it at your convenience. Again, 610-720-7900. Bitcoins. I mentioned before the break that we've had some inquiries of late about Bitcoins. Some from folks who have had some experience and have laid claim to great success. Others who are kind of new to the topic and wondering how best to invest. And the answer is there are a couple answers that are a couple bits of context that you need to know. First of all, we simply do not endorse Bitcoins. There are claims by folks that they have made millions. So far, all of the claims that I have seen personally, I put in a little bit of money and I'm worth millions. I have not yet confirmed anyone personally. I have heard rumors. I have not confirmed anyone personally who has actually cashed out millions of dollars of profit. I have anecdotal reports that they have reached that level, that they have had that accomplishment. I have heard of no one who has yet cashed out. Part of that problem is that Bitcoins themselves can't be acquired through any of the major SIPC, stock market regulated or SEC regulated brokers. They're not dealing in the Bitcoin. So the transactions themselves can be challenging to go to the Bitcoin exchanges. But I will be encouraged if I can successfully identify one person who has actually not only made the claim of made millions, but actually cashed it out. We have one individual who is who has visited our More Than Money World headquarters, who apparently either does or believes he has millions, and our advisor advice was to cash out, say half of it, put that as a almost a lottery winning, and allow the rest to ride. If he is confident that Bitcoins have a bright future, the rest of that will be magnificent, and yet he will have hedged his bets. That's very, very wise. Whether it's a Bitcoin, a piece of real estate, or a emerging stock, that's good advice. Now, the article that I'm referencing is from the American Association of Individual Investors, a very reputable group. And the gentleman makes an observation. It's quite interesting. Would you pay $800 for an item that you know to be worth $400? Well, most rational people would say no. Why would I pay $800 for something that's worth $400? You wouldn't knowingly do that, but would you unknowingly do that? Well, apparently, because there is an investment called the Bitcoin Investment Trust. The ticker symbol is G as in Gary, B as in Bob, T as in Tom, C as in Charles, and it trades currently at about $800 a share. It represents Bitcoins. Each share is equivalent to roughly 0.1%, a tenth of one Bitcoin. The underlying, what's referred to as the net asset value, the underlying value of that Bitcoin investment trust is about $400 a share. But it's trading at $800 a share. Why would you pay $800 for something that's worth $400? Maybe the analogy that would be kind of most easily absorbable is, why would you pay $2,400 a share for gold, an ounce for gold, when it sells for $1,200? Well, and your answer is, well, you wouldn't. You absolutely wouldn't. But only if you knew that. Only if you knew that.
Okay.
So, Bitcoin is an investment. It's kind of trading in the shadows, kind of trading in electron form as opposed to any physical form. There's a lot going on that's both well known and a lot that's not so well known. What do you need there, my friend? Oh, very good. And he wishes to go back on air?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, I promised you to talk about a bunch of stuff. Let's just go to the phone, 610-720-7900. We're back with John. John, welcome back.
Good morning, Gene. Thanks for taking my call again. I when I mentioned my sibling, she called me and said that the financial advisor, when they said to us that, you know, it was not part of the estate, it was because we were named beneficiaries. I don't know if that changes anything or if it's still the same.
It does not change a thing.
Okay. I mean, I started feeling like, what? Because we really had faith in this financial advisor. You know, and after I got off the phone with you, I thought maybe there's something to the verbiage, but I guess not. Okay.
Sadly.
You answered my question, and okay. I appreciate it.
No problem, sir. You take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com. Named a beneficiary is John's concern about the verbiage, I think, is very real. I think it's very real. I tease on occasion about using sophisticated financial jargon, like people think the stock market's going to take a dump. I intentionally don't use financial jargon. I was very blessed as a young man. I grew up in the church, and the church was one of the first places that I was exposed to ideas that were really challenging, really hard. I mean, in school, yeah, it's tough, but to be perfectly honest, I was very blessed. I was able to, school came easy to me. There are some ideas when you believe in God, when you believe in Christ, that are pretty challenging. And early in my life in the church, I had two pastors back to back, and one I would sit there absolutely convinced he was the smartest guy I had ever listened to in my entire life, because I had no clue what the heck he was talking about. And even though I was relatively young, small church, close family and friends, people that would allow these kind of conversations, I would say to a gentleman or a lady in say a class, "Hey, what did that mean?" And they would go, "I have no clue. He talks very clearly. He's very learned because he uses big words, and it's complicated, and it's hard, and I guess that's what it is. These are just hard ideas." And then a true blessing in my life was our next pastor, a gentleman long since departed. His name was Peter Love. And he would often speak of the same ideas, but in ways that I understood, because he used language that we all understood. And even though I was a young man, I was very struck by how powerful it was not to continue to make a complicated idea complicated, but to make a complicated idea understandable. So I am with John. I would be worried about verbiage if I have a financial advisor that I have reason to trust, and now I find out may fundamentally be flawed. I got to wonder, did I hear that right? Did he say beneficiary? Did he say named beneficiary? In this case, same thing. Exactly the same thing. If I am the named beneficiary of my brother's IRA, that IRA is still an asset of my brother's estate. It's still included in his estate. Now, to John and his sibling, is it possible that this is just a complete misunderstanding, a miscommunication? Perhaps your financial advisor is very, very smart, just doesn't communicate well. That's very possible. There's a lot of folks out there that are like that. To be perfectly blunt, the financial advisory world is filled with really, really smart people who are not great communicators. And so those of us who are really smart people and amazing I couldn't keep a straight face. I couldn't go all the way. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, and morethanmoneyonline.com. I have so much to cover. I'm just trying to get my head around all of it. Before I forget, in this half hour, we send prayers to our friends, our family, our fellow citizens being affected by Irma, and just fill in the blanks with any named hurricane you can think of, because the dangers are tremendous. The risks are very, very real. People, sadly, make poor choices. We've seen too many of them interviewed. And ironically, most of the interviews are being done in bright sunshine on the south coast of Florida, where it's just gorgeous at this moment. Of course, what I saw was yesterday. So yesterday, at that moment, beautiful. people flying kites and people skateboarding and bicycling. And no, we're going to ride it out. So we pray to our God for their protection in their silliness, for their safety, and for all of our friends, our dear, dear friends in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and beyond, anybody affected, please be safe. We pray to God for your protection. Indeed. 610-720-7900. Here is a email that I think echoes what a lot of people are thinking these days. A gentleman writes, my wife and I are both 68 years old and been retired for several years. Our incomes come from Social Security, our pensions, and our investments. We both have IRAs where we rolled our 401ks. So the idea was that they worked previously at 401ks. They are now in an IRA. Our IRAs are invested in mutual funds. I read an article in this month's Money magazine that makes the stock market sound very scary right now. Do you agree? And if you do agree, what should my wife and I do to protect our retirement? I think that absolutely articulates the concerns of lots of folks right now. They are hearing reports that the stock market is too high, the bull market's gone on too long. And I dug out the article that this gentleman referenced in the September issue of Money Magazine. And indeed, they interviewed five quote-unquote experts, Thomas Forrester, Jim Rogers, Mark Faber, Rob Arnault, and Bill Gross, all of whom are, they call them the fearful five. All of them are quite convinced that the stock market has some very difficult days ahead. According to Forrester, the quote is, it's going to be agonizing. Jim Rogers says it's going to collapse. Mark Faber, by the way, Mark Faber's newsletter kind of gives you a hint of where he always leans. The newsletter title is Gloom, Boom, Doom Report. Yeah, you think he might be a little negative? Bill Gross, all markets are increasingly at risk. I think that's a fairly balanced statement. And Rob Arnault says there's not enough fear. Again, I think it's a balanced statement. If you go through the articles, they talk about various indicators, various indices and indicators that might clue them into a future drop in the market. To be perfectly fair, there are lots of advisors who look at this very same indicators, and they see the exact opposite. Gentleman Ed Yardeni thinks that there indeed might be a drop, but not until early 2019. And let me see the other gentleman's name, Sam Stovall. I've met Sam a number of times, very bright gentleman. He's a chief strategist at the investment firm of CFRA, says he doesn't see any indication that there is a recession in the future and that stock market's at risk. So are there differences of opinion? Oh, as there should be, because no one knows for a fact. No one knows for a fact if the stock market's going to drop, when, and how much. No one knows. People who claim to know are full of poo-poo caca. It is a technical term. You might want to check your MBA reference textbooks for that one. Nah, I think we understand that one. If I said steaming pot, no, just please. If anyone claims to have a handle on where the market's going or when, I would remind you that we have been told that the bull market cannot continue because it's gone on forever for the last 3 years. And two of those last 3 years have been fabulous in the stock market. So we've been warned. Well, we've been warned about increased interest rates in the bond market for 6 years, and they started last year. We've been warned about the market tumbling for, easily 3 or 4 years. So predicting, as Yogi Berra will tell you, is very hard, particularly about the future. So what should you do? Well, there's a couple things that you should do. Number one, if you don't need to be in the stock market, might be a good time to pull out. Well, how do you know if you need to be? That's why you sit with a financial advisor. That's why you understand a financial advisor's role in guiding you into what do you need. For example, this gentleman talks about where our income is partly coming from our IRAs. Well, is it coming 100% from your IRAs or only some of your IRAs? Let's say you had $500,000, but you're just using the income from $100,000. One piece of advice might be, let's segregate out a piece of our investments, the piece that we absolutely positively have to have, and put that someplace remarkably safe. Might be an annuity, might be a fixed indexed annuity, might be in treasuries, it might be in a money market, it might be in a credit union. It'll depend. Huh, there's a shock. It depends. But is it possible that you can carve out a piece of your investments, guarantee them, and then ride out whatever ups and downs the market might provide? I think it's a very real possibility. In the weeks to come, we're going to be talking more and more about actions that you can take if you're fearful about the stock market decline. It would be very useful to me if you would share with me your questions or your concerns. My email is gene@askmtm.com. Let me know, and we'll continue to educate. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Barry. Barry, good morning, sir.
Hello, Gene. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, sir. How can we help?
I got a question in regards to the hurricane and the flood victims and stuff. I heard somewhere, the grapevine, I think I heard in the news, that a lot of these people have mortgages, but they don't have flood insurance. My question is, who takes the loss in that situation? Do the people have to pay for a house that they don't have, say, God forbid, it would get decimated?
And sadly, Barry, the answer is yes.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it's staggering to think about. Now, to be fair, for most properties that are in a floodplain or a flood-prone area, geographically speaking, if they have a mortgage, the lender required them to have flood insurance.
But there's some circumstances, but they're not required.
Oh,
they still got the flood, but they're still responsible for it.
Barry, you're 100% correct.
Yep,
you borrowed the money. If you're not covered and you're out of pocket, we're talking about bankruptcy of staring lots of folks in the face. It's devastating.
It's SOL.
Indeed.
Oh, my God. Wow. Hey, I got another question real quick. Could you personally suggest any charities that are reputable to give to? Where I'm talking, where the money goes, where the majority of the proceeds go directly to the intended source and not executive fees.
Yeah, that's a real challenge. Now, if you're talking about hurricane relief, I go with the big three. I go with the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and Habitat for Humanity. If you're talking about in general, one of the reasons on Monday at our 9/11 event we use Keystone Warriors. They are an all-volunteer organization. There is no money paid to salaries to anybody.
Oh, at all? 100%?
100%.
Wow. And one last question. I'll leave you go. With all these oil refineries being affected with the floods and that, do you anticipate gas prices to go through the roof, and maybe they should buy oil, like heating oil, now as opposed to in the future, lock it in while it's still relatively cheap? I know it's going up and increasing somewhat.
Oh, it's gone up in the local area about 30 cents a gallon at the pump, so it's already gone up a lot. Crude oil has stayed very, very stable. It's the refined product that's going to be difficult. I think some of those are going to be offline, although I haven't heard much about that coming out of Houston. I don't think it's going to be as bad as some people fear, and I think it's going to be relatively short term. If you're concerned and you can lock in a good price right now for the heating season, not a bad idea. But in general, I don't think it's going to be a long-term problem.
All right, let's hope so. All right, man, you be safe.
Thank you. God bless you, sir. God bless. We've got to go to our last break. Goodness. I know. Dude, I'm up to my eyeballs here. Voice of an Angel, Natalie Merchant. Some of you, I understand, she's got politics we don't agree with, but she sounds lovely, and she's been with us for years. If you have a question, I've got several emails. I will get to them as quickly as I can. If I can't get to them on air, I'll get to them off. But phone number 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. We'll take your questions after this on More Than Money. But welcome back to the home of explanation. This is exactly where you need to be for explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. Many of you have been reaching out by email and by phone, asking about our 9/11 event and how you can help. We'll be there starting at 5 a.m. on Monday. We will absolutely take pledges. If you can stop by, that's great. We take phone calls. Our entire More Than Money family turns out for this. Helping vets is not just a nice idea for us. While I was honored to serve in the United States Air Force, Bill was has served both as a Marine and as a Pennsylvania Army National Guard, and so we've, Connie's brother served in Vietnam. We have lots of connections of folks who have served. That's not the point. The point is the respect that we have for those folks and for the calling that we have to help those men and women who served us, who need us now. And the Keystone Warriors helps us do that. 9/11's a horrific memory. If you are cognizant of where you were when it all happened, you know how it, you just don't even want to go back to those images. But we've got to turn that, we insist on turning that to something positive. This will be our ninth year. You have been incredibly generous. And for folks who have been paying attention, you'll notice that this year's telethon for the Keystone Warriors, only 3 days rather than five. So the responsibility is squarely on our shoulders on Monday to do the very best that we can. If you've been a donor in the past, please return to us. If you've been a donor in the past, bring along a friend. If you've been one of our matching donors, lots of folks have already made their contributions. We appreciate that. That all goes to the right place. But if you're a matching donor, please let us know. Maybe send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. If you send it over the weekend, that would be great, or very, very early Monday morning so that we can set up our matching hours. We already have a couple set up. We need more. And so many of you who have helped us in the past, I know you're going to be there. At least in spirit, we need you there all the way. So if you can help us, we would appreciate that very, very much. It's going to be a great event. Not just, it's not just a sad remembrance, although the Honor Guard 21-gun salute is very moving. It is a hopeful look to the future where we can continue to create the kind of caring and love and support for our military vets that they deserve. So lots of food, lots of smiles, lots of good people, lots of vets. Our resident vet, Mr. Bill Maughan, please come and give him a Marine Corps hoo-yah. Give him that. Hoorah. Is it hoorah? Okay, I'm not a Marine, obviously. I was Air Force, which is basically Boy Scout light. I mean, come on, please. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. If you missed any part of the first hour and a half of our show, it'll be podcast Tuesday. I guarantee you we won't make it Monday. We're going to be a little busy, and happily so. But please join us. For those of you that stop by, we have five or six copies of Hack Proof Your Life Now. Talk about a timely book that you really want to get your hands on, considering that Experian had 143 million accounts hacked with everything that someone needs to steal your identity, social security numbers, home addresses, driver's license. Are you flipping kidding me? So, yes, we if you come in and make a generous donation, we'll be happy to share that with you. A gentleman writes, going back to the question that John had of whether beneficiary designations take an asset out of the estate, Jim writes, maybe the advisor was trying to say that the assets were not part of the will and was misunderstood, or he misspoke. That's very possible. And we absolutely hope that that is the case. There is no, what's the word? No pleasure in uncovering a incompetency. What we would like to uncover is that John and his sibling and his family are being served correctly and at a very, very high level. So if we can discover a way that their current advisor, who he has a lot of trust in, is exactly right, that'd be fantastic. That'd be fantastic. And John, if you're still listening, as you further explore this, please let us know how you how this is resolved. Thumbs up, thumbs down. If it turns out that, yeah, he just made a huge mistake, let us know. And if it turned out, no, it was a misunderstanding, that he's a great guy and he's right on track, that'd be even better. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Gentleman writes, I started a small business 2 years ago, and things have gone really, really well. I operate out of a small office I built onto my garage, and my commute is less than 60 seconds. Good for you. Talk about a lifestyle. I don't have or want any employees. if you've never owned a business, that I guarantee you that's not as humorous as it is for somebody who has. I understand completely. Gentlemen, he continues, my income is about double what I expected at this point, and that has become a really, really nice problem that my wife and I are trying to sort out. I'm looking at some pretty serious income taxes this year. Ouch. Are there any secret deductions for self-employed people like me? Yeah, you can deduct your mileage. Sorry, that's so wrong. I apologize. 60-second commute. Actually, I have a friend who has a shorter commute than that. Dan Egito. Dan lives literally not even eight steps. Well, maybe for Dan, but I'm talking 8 feet, maybe. I don't know. Maybe if you take small steps, I don't know. He comes out his kitchen door. He goes in his office door. I don't know if it would take him 5 seconds to go. It's spectacular. One of the most beautiful homes, one of the most beautiful offices, one of the most beautiful situations I've ever seen. Talk about lifestyle. Fantastic. All right, let's talk about super secret deductions for self-employed. The answer is no. No, there are no super secret. Are there lots of deductions that a lot of self-employed people don't know about? Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Now, this gentleman doesn't tell me anything about the type of business or what deductions might be normal or not so normal. Hopefully, now he said he started his business 2 years ago. I'm hopeful he already has a professional, tax professional assisting him. He may even need accounting services, that kind of thing. That is hopeful. If that is the case, get yourself to your tax guy or tax girl so that they can outline for you precisely what records you need to be keeping tax purposes. Now, he says his office is 60 seconds away. That doesn't mean he stays there all day. So I was teasing about the mileage. But if he's out and around with clients, yeah, mileage might be a deduction, and it's a big one, 50 cents a mile plus. That's a lot of money that can be racked up rather quickly. If you only do 100 miles a week, 5,000 miles a year, it doesn't sound like much. $2,500 deduction, that's a lot of money. Now, super secret, not really. But if you indeed are have no intention of having employees, you might very well want to set up a personal retirement plan. And generally, they come in one of a couple flavors. The simplest way, and it's kind of ironic that I said simple, because the Simplified Employee Pension, SEP, it's a form of IRA. The SEP, ridiculously simple to set up. Paperwork is very easy. There are lots of sponsors that you can work with to create an SEP. And you can put away roughly 20% of your net income. So let's say, for sake of argument, gentleman is grossing $100,000 a year. He has $10,000 in expenses in his little office, a copy machine, some phone services, a cell phone, et cetera, computers. He nets $90,000. He could put away roughly $18,000 tax deduction. And if you're in a high tax bracket, that $18,000 might save you $4,000 or $5,000 in taxes. And all of that money that you put into this SEP is your money. So it's like taking money out of your left jeans pocket, putting it in your right jeans pocket, and along the way, you pay less taxes. Woo. That's pretty good stuff. For some folks, if they want to kind of push the envelope a little bit, maybe with higher contributions, particularly for folks who are 50 and over, and you'll see why here in a second, you can set up even as a sole proprietor, a company with one person as the employee, you can set up a 401k. A lot of folks find that shocking. They're thinking 401ks are for big companies, big corporations, and they're very, very expensive. They don't need to be. And sometimes they're called individual 401ks. Some are called solo 401ks or sole 401ks. Doesn't matter. It's just a 401k that applies to one person. Depending on lots of factors, the maximum that you can put away, $54,000 a year. That's a flat out a lot of money. And by the way, it could be even a bit more if you are 50 and over, which is why the 401k is so attractive to folks who are a bit further along. So to this young man, first of all, congratulations. Are you kidding me? He's killing it. A lot of small businesses, they don't survive at all. And after 2 years, he's doing way better than he expected. You know you're doing way better when you're starting to say, ooh, taxes, paying a lot in taxes. That's actually a good sign. Because if you're paying a lot in taxes, it means you're making a lot of money. So SEP, IRA, 401k, solo 401k. If you've got more questions, 610-720-7900. Happy to help. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. I'll save that because that one's a quick one. Gentlemen, don't know. Our husband and wife. Our two sons are 23 and 24. They're both working, one here in Bethlehem, one in Maryland. They both have very good jobs with bright futures. There you go. We have a winner. That's beautiful. We are hoping you can give us a couple ideas of what they should be doing to give themselves a chance of achieving a financially secure future. Ah, good for you. Well, first of all, apparently, see how I did that? Parents, apparently. Apparently, you guys have done a great job. Because you've got two young men to their early adulthood both working, good jobs, bright futures. That just speaks volume about the kind of parents that you are. Congratulations. What should they be doing? I'm going to give you the simplest answer, and then I'm going to give you two tools that I think might help. The simplest answer has been around literally for centuries. As a matter of fact, there's a book. It's a tiny book. Literally a tiny book. It's like half the size of a paperback, and it might only be 50 pages. And it's called The Richest Man in Babylon. It's a wonderful book, easily read. And it just describes what is the simplest, time-honored, with a tremendous probability of success piece of advice about financial security ever given. And it starts with, kind of tongue-in-cheek, spend less than you make. Start out by being committed to spending less than you make. We'll come back to that in a second. But the richest man in Babylon becomes wealthy, in your words, financially secure, by simply saving 10% of everything that he earns. So if your two young sons with good jobs and bright futures could simply commit to, no matter what, save 10% of whatever they make, they will have the greatest probability through all the ups and downs of their financial futures, through all the variables in their lives, children, marriages, job moves, perhaps buying houses, educating kids, if they can commit to saving 10% of their income from now until they retire, they will undoubtedly be financially secure. Couple tools that can help. Number one's a budget. It's standard operating procedure for a business. If you're running a successful business, you got a budget. You got to know exactly what you're spending and on what. As a human being, you can do exactly the same thing. I will tell you that in my 780 years as a financial advisor, very few people, less than 5% in my experience, have a formal budget. So, in referencing back to my first piece of advice, if your sons will simply commit to saving 10% of everything they make, easiest way to do it, put it on autopilot. Go to their employer and either sign up for the 401k and have them withhold 10%. Now it's autopilot. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to do anything. It simply happens. They don't have to worry about a budget. They should, for other reasons. But in terms of financial security, their paycheck, their 10% savings already been deducted. They're on autopilot. Budget, absolutely, it's useful. Keeps you on the right track, keeps you out of trouble, keeps you out of debt, keeps you out of credit card problems. But in terms of financial future, if you will save 10%, you've done well. Now, a lot of folks save 10% at the end of the year. They got $1,100 and they're going, what was the point? That's where a second tool comes into play, and that's a net worth statement. A net worth statement sounds kind of fancy. It really isn't. It's a piece of paper divided down the middle. On the left side, you add up everything that you own, everything of value. On the right side, you put everything you owe. So if they're young and they're renting, on the left side, they might put their car. On the right side, they might put their car loan. On the left side, they might put their bank account. On the right side, they might put their student loans. But what's important is that as they begin to save this 10%, their net worth statement will get better and better and better every single month. So while some people go, someday I hope to get a little extra money, if they are committed to saving 10% a year, not only will they always be getting a little extra money, but their net worth statement, even if it started at, my net worth is zero. What I own and what I owe is the same. I got nothing. Well, at the end of a month, your net worth is a positive $200. At the end of a year, it's a positive $3,000. At the end of 5 years, it's a positive $20,000. That might be exactly what these young men need to stay on that track, to stay committed, to start with that 10% when it's hard and stick with it when it becomes a habit. Because 10% of 20 grand, that's a lot of money, 2,000 bucks. 10% of 200 grand is a lot more. But if you're in the habit, it's pretty easy. A couple minutes left in this edition of More Than Money. Minute 30, which tells me one more time I need to invite you. Please join us Monday. I always want you to join us next week, of course, but please join us Monday as we remember 9/11 the best way we know how, by doing good for the military vets that so badly need us. The Keystone Warriors is the group that we're helping. We want you to be in our More Than Money World headquarters. We want you to send us emails. We want you to respond and ask how to pledge. We'll be there from 5 a.m. on. 4505 Hanoverville Road in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. Go to 191 from anywhere in the valley. Go north 1 mile, turn left, and you're there. We'll be happy to welcome you with open arms. If you can't make it over, give us a phone call. The office number is 610-746-7007. You don't want to forget, you can call right now, make your pledge. Just leave your name and address and your pledge. We'll take care of it Monday. We'll confirm it with you. But please join us and make a difference in the life of someone who made a difference in your life protecting your freedoms. Thanks for being with us this Saturday. It's gone very, very quickly. I hope you learned a lot. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.